So this is the today's daf, which is Shabbos Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Gemara has a discussion about what I call mafsikin. What do I mean by mafsikin? You began some sort of involvement, and it was a time for, let's say, tefillah, or for Kriyat Shema. And the question is, you know, tefillah and Kriyat Shema are time-sensitive mitzvahs, and it's very nice that you started your occupation, you're occupied with something or other, but is there halacha mafsikin? Do we force you to stop because you have these mitzvahs that are time-pressing, and we don't want you to miss out? And as a general rule, we'll see some exceptions perhaps, the halacha differentiates between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. With regard to Kriyat Shema, we have halacha mafsikin, so that, let's say you began a su'uda, you have to be mafsik when it's time for Kriyat Shema. This is very relevant at night, as opposed to Tefillah. Tefillah, we're more liberal, especially the Gemara is going to focus its attention on Mincha. Tefillas Mincha, you have a chunk of time, starting with Mincha Gedola, let's say, which is a half hour after Chatzos Hayom until Shkia, so you have a good couple of hours. In the winter, it's a little bit tighter. And, you know, you began a meal, we would have discouraged you from starting a meal, but you began your meal. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara says that in Bavel, they used to start the meal by loosening their belt. Anyway, once you started the meal, is ein mafsikin l'tefillah, but mafsikin l'kriyat shema. Now that's because you're involved in a meal. And the Gemara gives other examples of, you know, people who are involved in business occupations. And as I said before, the general rule is mafsikin l'kriyat shema, but ein mafsikin l'tefillah. The reason why we're more machmer in Kriyat Shema is likely because Kriyat Shema is Doraisa, Tefillah is only Darabonon, but again, that gets into a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, and the Shittas HaRambam is that Tefillah is in fact Doraisa. So then we have to figure out another reason why Mafsikin LeKriyat Shema and not LeTefillah. Now in the case of Torah study, that's a different kind of preoccupation. If I start learning Torah, do I have to stop for Kriyat Shema, do I have to stop for Tefillah? And once again, the general rule, the general guideline is going to be, yeah, I have to stop for Kriyat Shema, but I can continue for Tefillah, and he'll dive in a little bit later on. But the Gemara makes a distinction here between everybody and those who are Torah Somum Nasa, like the Chaverim of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. They were exclusively dedicated to Torah study, and therefore, they don't stop even for Kriyat Shema, and certainly not for Tefillah. They continue their learning. So the Gemara rejects that, and the Gemara says that's impossible. You can't tell me that just because it's Torah Som Nason and they are dedicated exclusively to the study of Torah, therefore they're not going to recite Kriyat Shema. They have to stop for Kriyat Shema. Now, as you know, in the back of the Masifta, there's something called Yalkut Biurim. So what I'd like to do is go through a few points in the Yalkut HaBiurim. If Yechiel Prince was around, I would ask him to send it to your computer. He did tell me that there's a way of putting it up on the screen. The technology is there. I haven't yet got to the point where I've mastered that technology, so I apologize. And I'll try to make it as much Torah Sheval Peh as I can. But I'm reading it from a text. Now, we have a whole bunch of different issues here that are addressed by the poskim, by the achronim. I'll mention a few of them. Some will sort of, will catch our fancy, our attention, and others will just mention in passing. One issue is going to be the following. We said that mafsikin l'kriyat shma. So he started his suda. Now it's time for kriyat shma. He's got to stop and recite kriyat shma. So the poskim want to know, once he already stopped his suda, does he have to daven as well? Do you follow? Once we say ein mafsikin litfila, because he started his suda. Yeah, but he's already in the state of mafsikin, because he had to stop for kriyat shma. So the Sfasemis raises the following possibility, which he investigates. Once he's already mafsik for kriyat shma, then we're going to force him to daven, because we don't have to cause a hefsek. So what is hefsek? Is hefsek the act of stopping some activity, or is hefsek the pesek zman, that passage of time between X and Z? That's the Y of hafsaka. If we look at it in the latter way, the hafsaka, so then I made hafsaka for my suda for the sake of kriyat shma. That's a 2-minute hafsaka. I don't have to make hafsaka of 15 minutes for adding, in order to add tefillah in. But if on the other hand, mafsikin is the act of making a termination point in my suda, then I've already made my termination point for the sake of kriyat shma, and therefore I would have to daven at that point. So that's the suffix of the Sfas Emes. Okay. I'm sorry, I heard a question, but I didn't hear it clearly. Oh, okay. So now we want to talk a little bit about Chaverim. So the Gemara says here on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph that Seifa Son L'Divrei Torah. And what does that mean, Seifa Son L'Divrei Torah? So let me give you the Baal Amar's interpretation of those words. He says the following. In the Reisha, we're talking about a case where he has enough time to complete his Suda and daven. So let's say, for example, the Suda will extend for an hour, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he still has plenty of time before Shkia, which is at 5, so he finishes his suit at 4, and he'll daven. The Seifa is talking about a case of Ein Shahos. That means that if he continues, he will not have the time to daven. But we're talking about someone who's Oseik B'Divrei Torah. And we're about to introduce the concept of Toraso Umnaso. So Seifa Son L'Divrei Torah, and that's going to be interpreted as Chaverim Shayu Oskim BaTorah, Ke Chaverov Shal Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, that are Toraso Umnaso. They will not be able to stop their learning and leave Tom for davening. Nevertheless, they continue their learning. Why? Because they have the special status of Toraso Umnaso. So then, if he was Ein Toraso Umnaso, in this very circumstance, says the Baal Amar, he would have to stop even for tefillah, because he won't have enough time to daven. The time for tefillah would have expired if we allow him to continue his learning. So even though he's learning, and that's a great mitzvah of Talmud Torah, he's got to stop. Because with regard to Talmud Torah, we're not going to apply the principle of Oseik B'mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah for the loss of Tefillah, at the expense of Tefillah. For the loss of Tefillah, he's going to have to stop learning. He's not Toraso Umnaso. So not in this case, there's no difference between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, because we're talking about a scenario in which he won't have time for Tefillah. If he won't have enough time for Tefillah, then for sure he has to be Mafsik, unless he fits into the category of Toraso Umnaso. So the Baal Amar's claim is that in a case of a category called Toraso Umnaso, he continues his learning, even if he has to forfeit his mitzvah of tefillah. Comes along the Ran, and he says the following. He says, Hahechrech, what forces the Baal Hamor to this position? If the Mishnah from the beginning to the end is talking about a case of Yeshlo Shahus, he still has time to daven, so why would you limit yourself to Rav Shim Bar Yochai and say that Rav Shim Yochai is Ein Mafsikim, but we are Mafsikim? Are we prohibited? Are we enjoined from learning Torah when we still have time to daven? So what's the difference here between Torasim Nasar Rav Shim Bar Yochai and us? If there's plenty of time to daven, then we also should be permitted to continue our learning, and we'll daven later. No, says the Baal Hamor. If we're going to justify the Mishnah differentiating between the Reish and the Sefer and introduce Bar Yochai, then we must be talking about a case of Ein Lo Shahus. He doesn't have time to daven, and therefore if he's your rank and file citizen, he would have to stop his Torah learning for the sake of a mitzvah veres, a mitzvah that's going to pass. And that's the mitzvah of tefillah, because Ein Lo Shahus. Torasim Naso, that's different. In that case, Torah trumps the mitzvah of tefillah. Not the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, but the mitzvah of tefillah. So that's the Baal Hamor and the Ran. You know that Avram Avinu, on the third day of his after his milah, he was being mekabel pnei shechina. Chazal say, Hakadosh Baruch Hu was mekayim the mitzvah biker cholim, and Avram was communing with the Almighty. Three wayfarers passed by. So the pasuk says, "Vayar shlosha noshim." Etc. And then it says, Vayar Vayoretz Likrosam. So the Nitziv Mivalojin, in his commentary on the Torah called Hamek Dover, asks, why does it say Vayar twice? And he says the following, that the first Vayar was the Avram seeing the quandary that he was in. Call it a tug of war. I always say that all of halacha is about tug of war. Had to juggle priorities. So he has two priorities. He's got Kabbalas Pnei Shechina and he has Kabbalas Orchim. So that's what he sees in front of him. And he vacillates. What should I do? And he thinks to himself that there's a fundamental difference between Kabbalas Pnei Shechina and Achnosas Orchim. The latter is a mitzvah veres. It's Ein Lo Shahus. If he doesn't take a break, and if he doesn't terminate his involvement in Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, then he's going to lose the mitzvah Achnasas Orchim. The Orchim are not going to wait around for him. They're on the road. So he's got to juggle, and he has to decide whether to do so. But then he says, you know what? I can have the best of both worlds. I can be mekayim the mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, and at the same time, the mitzvah of Kabbalas Orchim. And here's where Yishmael plays the major role. Avram says, and Chazal say here was the mitzvah chinuch for the Yishmaelim to learn Achnosis Orchim, I'm going to send Yishmael. Then there's a second Vayar. And that's the Vayar in which Avram Avinu realized that he cannot send Yishmael. Why not? So the Nitziv quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that Avram looked at these three people. And he was, as we'd say in Yiddish, he was shatzing them up. He was evaluating them. He wanted to see how they were treating each other. Was there a certain mutual respect in the way that they walked, in the way they related to each other, or they were just three, pardon the expression, hobos, you know, who were going through the desert. And he saw that they were anashim mechubadim. So the Netziv says that according to the Medrash, when Avram Avinu realized that they were Anashim Mechubadim, that's when he decided to be Makabel Pnei Arch. Says the Netziv, what do you mean? There's no mitzvah of, maybe on the contrary, there's a greater mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Archim in the case of hobos. You know, they really desperately need Kabbalas Archim. Only Mechubadim? What are we, running an elitist society? Says the Netziv. Nay, what Avraham Avinu was trying to determine is whether he could be Mekayim this mitzvah by sending Yishmael, or he had to go himself. Who would bring the Archim in? If they were Anoshim Mechubadim, Avraham Avinu, according to the Netziv, realized that he's got to do it himself. For Anoshim Mechubadim to send a bar mitzvah yingel, that's not appropriate. Is then, says the Netziv, Vayar, he saw that this was a mitzvah veres, which he could not pawn off on anyone else. Yishmael would not do the job. He saw they were Mechubadim, Vayar it's lekrosam. That's when he decided that for sure it's a mitzvah veres. In his Havamina, Avraham Avinu thought it's not a mitzvah veres. I could have my cake and eat it too. I can send Yishmael and be Mekayim the mitzvah of Achnasas Archim at no loss to Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. But once he realized that there are Anoshim Mechubadim, it was a mitzvah veres, and he had to desist from Kabbalas Pnei Shechina for the sake of Kabbalas Archim. So let's go back now to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'Chaverov, which is called Toroso Umnoso. Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah veris. No matter who you are, you have to stop from your learning for the sake of Kriyat Shema. You can't send a shliach, and the time for Kriyat Shema is going. What about Tefillah? Tefillah is also a mitzvah veris. Says the Baal Amor, we're talking Ein Lo Shehus. But the answer is that here, we're going to weigh Torah study with Tefillah. And both of them are considered avodas Hashem. Now, what does that mean? You know, that sounds like philosophy, but I don't mean it in a philosophical way. I mean it in a halachic sense. The Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, codifies the mitzvah of v'avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem. It's mitzvah number 5 in the positive commands. And the Rambam says, based on a Sifri, that this mitzvah of Avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem includes two different avodos. One is Torah, and one is Tefillah. Ezi avodah shablev zui Tefillah, Ezi avodah shablev zui Talmud. The study of Torah. They are both included under one mitzvah. They are both a fulfillment of the Avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem. If I go with the Ramban Shita is that no, V'avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem is not Tefillah, that's just an Asmachta, Tefillah is only the Rabbanon, I begin to appreciate that for someone like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Torah study is greater than Tefillah. But let's go with the Rambam Shita. The Rambam has two mitzvahs, both Torah and Tefillah, which are generated and are subsumed under the mitzvah of V'avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem. Avoda shel Tefillah and Avoda shel Torah. Which is greater? You could say, well, Ha'osik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. He's already picking up the mitzvah of Torah study. No. Torah study is different than any other mitzvah. Torah study requires that you drop the Torah, you desist, and you terminate for the sake of a mitzvah. Otherwise, you're considered lomeid shalal manas lasos. But here we have a category called Toroso Umnoso. In the case of Toroso Umnoso, the quality of his Torah puts this form of Avoda on a higher level than the Avoda of Tefillah. Within the framework of Avoda, and we're trying, according to the Rambam, who has both Torah and Tefillah under Avoda, we're trying to weigh them on a scale. There's the general public, and then there's Toroso Umnoso. The quality of the Torah in a case of Toros Umnoso is so superior that it knocks off, it trumps the mitzvah of Tefillah. Now, I want to share with you an insight of Rabbi Eliyahu Guttmacher. Rabbi Eliyahu Guttmacher lived about 150 years ago, and he has Hagos on Rashi. Now let's understand that if you look at Rashi on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschil Chaverim, Rashi tells us that Kriyat Shema is Do'oraisa, and the Zman Kriyat Shema is derived from the Pasuk in Chumash Uv'Shabacha Uv'Kumecha. Now back on Daf Tes Amud Beis, in the Mishnah that we're studying now, Rashi writes that Kriyat Shema is Do'oraisa. And he seems to imply that the Zman Kriyat Shema is not Do'oraisa. He doesn't say anything about Zman Kriyat Shema. Why is it that Rashi here on Daf Yud Aleph points out that Zman Kriyat Shema is Do'oraisa, derived from B'Shabach of Kumecha, and Rashi on the Mishnah simply says that Kriyat Shema is Do'oraisa. He doesn't breathe a word about Zman Kriyat Shema. So according to Rabbi Eliyahu Guttmacher, there's a mistake in the printed text of our Rashi. It's a to sofer. And rather, you have to change, and it should say dahavi do'oraisa. It shouldn't say dizmana do'oraisa, but it should say dahavi do'oraisa. Which means the following. We're going to change one word. Instead of dizmana, we're going to have dahavi. Because even if we hold like the Man D'Yomar in Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph that Kriyat Shema is Do'oraisa, nevertheless, Zman Kriyat Shema is not Do'oraisa. That was established by the Chacham. And if you take a look at Masechet Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph, Beis Hillel says there's Zmana D'Rabbana, that the Zman Kriyat Shema is D'Rabbana. It says b'shalbachov kumecha. How can you say that Zman Kriyat Shema is the Rabbanon? It means the following, that there are two Kriyat Shemas during the day. One has to be associated with the time that you're awake, and one with the time that you're asleep, or that people go to sleep. But the specifics about exactly when the Zman is, for example, Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar Ad Sof Shel Shos, that's already a rabbinic enactment. Or in the case of Ma'ariv, in the case of Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, you know, you have five different shitas. When is this man for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? You have three different shitas in the Mishnah. When is the latest time for Tfilas for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? And that's all Durabonos. So basically, the Haggah here is saying we cannot tolerate the text of Rashi as we have it. We've got to make a change from the word Bizmana to the word Dahavi. Now everything is fine and we reconcile the two Rashis. However, in the back of the book, the back of the Gemara, there's something called Hagos Ra'im Horovitz. And he writes that in the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where he has plenty of time. Yeshuhus Bayom. So Rashi says that why do you stop for Kriyat Shema if you have so many hours until the end of Zman Kriyat Shema? Rashi says because Kriyat Shema is Do'oraisa, and if Kriyat Shema is Do'oraisa, it trumps any other sort of hitaskut, any sort of occupation. Here Rashi is talking about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Chaverov. There the din is Ein Mafsikin. If ain shahus bayom, in other words, despite the fact that the time is going, you know, the, you know, that what's it called, that thing that you know, where this, the, like the salt goes down, what's it called, the, I forgot what it's called, anyway, it's about to end, and yet yet the Gemara says that according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Chaverov, ein mafsikin. So here Rashi has to say, okay, ein mafsikin l'tfila, but mafsikin l'kriyat shema. Why? Because Ein Shehus Hayom, he's going to completely forfeit the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So therefore Rashi has to write Zmana Doraisa. Because if you're going to hold that Zmana is the Rabbanon, then the halacha would be that he doesn't have to stop even for Kriyat Shema, because he'll find another time which, at least on a Doraisa level, will suffice for his fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But if I elevate the Zman Kriyat Shema to a Doraisa, then the Gemara is saying that that trumps even the Torah of Rav Shimon bar Yochai Torah Sumnos. So we see clearly that according to this Haggah, we have to take Rashi as it's printed, and Rashi's of the opinion that not only is Kriyat Shema Doraisa, but even Zman Kriyat Shema is Doraisa. Now let's ask the following question. Why is the mitzvah Talmud Torah trumped by Kriyat Shema? We said that Mafsikin LeKriyat Shema, even in the case of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So I want to share with you the Shita of the Kilas Yaakov. You've all heard of the Kilas Yaakov, the Stipler. And he writes the following. The Gemara tells us here on Daf Yud Aleph that if the Chachamim, they had seven scholars that were sitting and deliberating over Kiddush HaChodesh, then Ein Mafsikin Afilu LeKriyat Shema. The reason for that is because we have a principle called Osek B'Mitzvah Potur Min HaMitzvah. But yet, we're not going to apply that to the case of Oskim B'Torah. We're going to say Mafsikin LeKriyat Shema. So why is it? Why is Talmud Torah, in that sense, inferior, and we don't apply the principle of Osek B'Mitzvah, Potur Min HaMitzvah, and the Mishnah says at the beginning of Peah, Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. So he writes the following. There are two categories of mitzvahs. One category is where the Torah sets up a shiur for that Kiyuma Mitzvah. You know, you have to eat a kezias of matzah, or you have to eat, or you have to fulfill a mitzvah within a certain time period. And if he will not be able to fulfill that mitzvah within that shir, which the Torah established, then he's going to be what's called anus al kiyuma mitzvah. So in most mitzvahs, if he won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah within that time period, he's called an anus. Circumstances beyond control. However, there are some mitzvahs, very few, but there the Torah did not establish any sort of shir mesuyam. It's an open-ended mitzvah. Or everyone should do the best he can, kefi yecholto. In these mitzvahs, if he cannot be mekayim the mitzvah now, he's not an onus, he's potter min mitzvah. So let's say, for example, tzedakah. He has to give tzedakah to a poor person. So if he doesn't have any money, he's potter from the mitzvah. That means that the shear of tzedakah is called echad yefil yecholta. And if he doesn't have the yecholes to give tzedakah, then he's potter from the mitzvah. You can't be mechayev him in a mitzvah when he doesn't have money to give. Says the Stipler, how do we classify the mitzvah Talmud Torah? The mitzvah Talmud Torah is not a mitzvah that has a shiur. It's v'yisabo yom v'layla. There's no specific time or duration of time in which he's chayav in the mitzvah. Therefore, the mitzvah is depending upon your fiyacholto. Do the best you can. If you have the time, then you'll fulfill the mitzvah. If you don't have the time, then you're not even chayav in the mitzvah. So, for example, if he has another mitzvah to fulfill, and that mitzvah does not tolerate delay, he's got to fulfill that mitzvah immediately, then in such a case, he's an anus on Talmud Torah. He's not chayim in Talmud Torah. It's not kefi yecholto. Now let's get back to the principle of osik b'mitzvah, potum b'mitzvah. Says the Stipler, now he's obligated in two mitzvahs. So he doesn't push off the mitzvah that he started with for the sake of the second mitzvah. But in a case where he's Osek B'mitzvah's Talmud Torah, now it's the time for Kriyat Shema, Well, these two mitzvahs are fundamentally different. The essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is kefiya cholto. The essence of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is right now. You don't have the ability to push it off. Therefore, as far as the Shah is concerned, Talmud Torah is not machayev. There's no specific hour that generates the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. But with regard to the other mitzvahs, like for example Kriyat Shema, then it's now. We have a Shah HaMechayeves. So in other mitzvahs, we could say, Osek b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. Why is he potter min mitzvah? Because he's an onus. He picked up the first mitzvah, and we said that within that time period he won't be able to fulfill the second mitzvah. He doesn't have that opportunity, and we'll call him an onus. But he's still chayev in the second mitzvah. It's just that he's onus. However, with regard to Talmud Torah, all we have to establish is that he's not even chayev in the mitzvah. It's not that he's chayev, but he's onus. He's not even mechuyev in the mitzvah. Why isn't he mechuyev in the mitzvah? Because the mitzvah is kefiya cholto. So therefore, we're going to establish the following. That mafsikin l'kriyat shema, and that's true even for Rav Shim Bar Yochai. Why is mafsikin l'kriyat shema? Why not say osik b'mitzvah, potur b'mitzvah? The answer is because we don't want him to be onus on a mitzvah, and therefore we say osik b'mitzvah, potur b'mitzvah, because he's chayim in the first mitzvah. But in the case of Talmud Torah, we don't have to say that he's onus if he reads Kriyat Shema. What we're going to say is that he's not even chayav in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I don't know, did you catch it or not? Just very quickly, we'll try to recap the fundamental principle of the stipler, because I think it's worth our while. The stipler is saying that we have two different ways of defining a scenario where you have to drop one mitzvah for the sake of another mitzvah. One way of defining it is that you're onus. The other way is to say you're not chayav at all. And it all depends. You have one category of mitzvah, which includes 99% of the mitzvahs, and that's a time-bound mitzvah. There's a duration of time, and you have to fulfill it then. Well, if you're going to drop a mitzvah for the sake of another mitzvah, then at best we can call you onus, but you're chayav in that mitzvah. Then we have a whole different type of mitzvah. We call it kefiya cholto. There's no duration of time. The mitzvah is constant. So when is the time period for that mitzvah? Whenever you get a chance. Whenever you're free, that's what you should be doing. And time allows you. In such a case, if you were to drop that mitzvah for the sake of another mitzvah, then you wouldn't be chayav in the first mitzvah, we'll call you an anus, but rather we would say that you're not chayav in that first mitzvah. Because you're only chayav in the mitzvah when you have a chance to do the mitzvah, kefiya cholto. So we should drop Talmud Torah for the sake of Kriyat Shema, because now it's not kefiya cholto. He's got to pick up the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. If he doesn't pick up the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, at best we can call him an anus, but the chiyav remains. In other mitzvahs, we're going to say osik b'mitzvah, potur min mitzvah, because if you drop the first mitzvah for the sake of the second mitzvah, at best we can call you an anus, but you still have that chiyuv mitzvah. So that's the analysis of the stipler. Now we get to Torah Somnos. So we'll stop in about 5-10 minutes. Here's what I wanted to add. The Achronim, the Tosus Yontiv, the Korban Esanel, are bothered. In the case of Ein Torah Sumnaso, we're going to say that if he's going to lose the mitzvah of Tefillah, then he has to be mafsik for Tefillah. In the case of Torah Sumnaso, even if he's going to lose Tefillah, we tell him to continue his learning. Matam. What's the logic Okay, he's not Torah Sumnasa. But what's more important, Torah or Tefillah? Just because he has a parnasa, he has an umnus, you know, from 9 to 5 he works in a factory, therefore his Torah is insignificant, and it cannot trump the mitzvah of tefillah. So they answer the following, that I'm looking for the, just give me a second, looking for the punchline here. So the Achronim quote a tshuva from the Rush. The Rush offers two approaches. And then Amir Tz Hashem will see the Chafetz Chaim. The Rush, in his first approach, he says the following. If it's Ein Torah Sumnaso, he says the following, that a person who's Ein Torah Sumnaso will learn sporadically, so to speak, but there are other occupations that are given higher priority than the study of Torah. Again, we're not being judgmental here. He's just saying that that's the reality. That he stops his Torah study for any number of different involvements. And therefore, when it's the time for tefillah, tefillah is not worse than anything else. If he'll stop his learning for the sake of making an extra buck, then why can't he stop his learning for the sake of tefillah? But if he's Torah Sumnaso, he doesn't stop his learning for anything. He's totally 1,000% dedicated to Torah study. Again, you have to be Rav Shimon bar Yochai for that. And therefore, he's not going to stop his learning even for something as important as tefillah. Now the Rush gives a second approach. He says, if we were going to tell all the people, with the exception of Torah Sumnasai, even your regular rank and file Talmidei Chachamim, don't stop for tefillah, says the Rush, then we're in a bind. Because let's take a look at these Talmidei Chachamim. Again, we're not talking about Torah Sumnasai. They're not stopping for tefillah. Why should I stop for tefillah? Im talmidei chachamim who are gedolim b'mayla, einam mispalim b'matzibur, is anachnu shepchusim mehem, alachas v'kam v'kama. When we're involved in Torah study, we're not going to stop for the sake of tefillah, if talmidei chachamim are not stopping. And I think, again, this is just my own twist on it, that the Rush is saying that what's at stake over here, what's on the balance here, is the entire enterprise of Torah of Tefillah B'Tzibur. So he's introducing a whole new dimension into this sugya. You know, as if we're going to say carte blanche, anyone who's involved in Torah study is potter from Tefillah, then we're going to wreak havoc in the whole institution of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Because look, the Talmidei Chachamim are continuing their learning. They're not stopping for tefillah. Why am I any worse? V'kama yavo lahakil v'davar v'bnei shelo yadunu es talmidei chacham l'kaf zchus lo m'shem oskim b'limud v'lachein enem ispalim v'tzibur. They're not going to say, well, you know, the talmidei chachamim have a special license, you know, they don't have to stop their learning for tefillah. Then that's not what they're going to say. They're going to just watch the talmidei chachamim, and they can imitate the Talmidei Chacham who are learning even at the expense of tefillah. And then he writes, oh, listen to the language. He says, v'nivtza, what's going to come out is, bati k'nesios b'telos minat tefillah. Maybe that's what Reb Chaim Kanevsky Shlita is worried about today, in our present situation, that the bati k'nesios will be bato minat tefillah. But I want to quote to you the Chafetz Chaim. He writes in his Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, Dor Zehu Pele. He says, Im Be'emes HaTorah Mitzad Atzma Gedola Malasa Yosef Min HaTfilah. He says, if in truth, in essence, Tfilah is secondary to Torah, Torah is greater than Tfilah. And we discussed before in the Rambam's frame of reference in Sefer HaMitzvahs, both Torah and Tfilah join forces as one mitzvah of avoda. So let's say the Torah is a greater mitzvah. Is v'chi mipnei she'anu osim dover acher she'echad shlo koga b'zeh anu mevatlin toroso? He says, hey, you know, it's bad enough that a person has to take a break and go to work and leave Torah behind. He's going to ignore his Torah studies for that period of time. Now you're telling me, well, you know what? We're going to take a break for tefillah because otherwise, you know, batei kneses will be empty. He says, I don't get it. If Torah is greater than tefillah, then we don't have to enter into various considerations and try to explain why we're going to stop and why we're going to continue our learning instead of tefillah. That is the halacha. The halacha is that tefillah is greater than Torah. He says, therefore, he says the following. Nevatel Torah letzarech tefillah. We should be, you know, we do. It's bad enough that we mevatel Torah to go to work. Now we're going to be mevatel tefillah, and we're going to tell people that's the way you have to do it. You have to be mevatel tefillah for the sake of mevatel Torah for the sake of tefillah. He says, "Mipnei shanu osim dover echad shelo kahogen." But Zeshanon Mevatlin Torah Leumnis is Nasa O Dover Shaloka again, Unevatl Torah Lutzar Tefillah. We should get down to basics over here. Which is more important, Torah or Tefillah? Don't tell me that you have all sorts of considerations. The halacha is the halacha. Because of Levayer Bozeh, Sheim Kviyas HaTorah Shal Adam Eino Bitmidus, he says that they're two qualitatively different types of Talmud Torah. He says you have something called Kviyus, which is non-stop Torah. And he says in such a case of non-stop Torah, Bitmidus, is Ruach Kiddushas HaTorah Shora Olav. Kol Kach, again, this is what we were discussing before, the qualitative superior nature of Torah study. In someone who has total kviyus, and therefore that already trumps tefillah. Masha enken im eino bitmidus is ein ruach kedushas haTorah shola kol kach. It doesn't have such a powerful, intense ruach hakodesh that therefore he should ignore tefillah. Lefizeh, he says, Anu she'ein Torah seinu tmidis. We don't learn 24/7 constantly. He says, we mevatel for umnus. We go to make a parnasa. Is ein koach kedushas haTorah gadol kol kach shetisbatel al yada mitzvah tefillah. So let's just summarize as we end the shiur. There are two different approaches here as to how we should weigh Torah and tefillah. One approach is that of the Rush. And the Rush says the following, you know what? He's mevatel Torah for umnus. Tefillah is not worse than umnus. The second approach of the Rush is, if we're gonna continue learning Torah and we're going to give up on tefillah, the batei kneses will be empty. And now we have the approach of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim says, no, we have to come to grips. What is a greater mitzvah? Which mitzvah trumps which? Is it Torah or is it tefillah? If it's Torah, then don't tell me, well, you know, he's mevatel here and he shouldn't have been mevatel, so we'll tell him to be mevatel for tefillah. That doesn't make any sense. But the answer is, says the Chafetz Chaim, there's a qualitative, categorical distinction here between two types of Torah study. There's Torah study for Torah Sam Nasa, he calls it Bitmidus. It's a Kvius, open-ended, continuous. And then he says the Ruach Kedushas HaTorah Shora Olav. And then there's Torah, which we study when we get a chance. We have other endeavors. We have to go to work, this, that, and the other thing. That's a different quality of Torah. And the Nafka Mina is going to be whether he stops for tefillah. Okay, Rabosai, that's what we were able to accomplish. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I thought that was a lot of new ideas that we picked up here, especially the stipler. And what time is it now? It's getting close to 10:30. And we have at 10:35, Erevin Be'il. Okay then? So I'm going to shut down. If you have any questions, now's the time to ask. If not, you can always send me an email. And now we'll pick up on Erevin Be'il.